B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tannehill takes a snap down to a right knee, and the Baltimore Ravens, who were the number one seed for the first time in franchise history, have a short-lived party at that spot as they get dropped by the Tennessee Titans 28-12. The six-seeded Titans have slayed another giant. Last week, it was Tom Brady in New England and Foxborough, and now they dominate the top-seeded Ravens and MVP front-runner Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. They are off to the AFC Championship game.
What a weekend! What a weekend of NFL football. Patriots are out. We didn't have our team to watch. But if you were still watching, you were entertained. Starting with that game on Saturday night. Damn, that was great. The 49ers-Vikings game earlier on Saturday was not as great. We'll get to that later on. But how about the Tennessee Titans? I'm a big Titans fan now.
How about Earl Thomas, though?
Big Titans fan. Earl Thomas?
Yeah.
Got smacked in the face by Derrick
Henry. I thought they were going to gang tackle him. Like the Patriots smacked
right in his face.
Right. The Patriots don't know how to gang tackle. They didn't approach it the right way. We know how to approach it. He got spun around on a 20-yard jaunt right around right end.
Oh, he sure did. What did you make of the approach to the game by the Ravens? Were they ready for that game? Did they handle the layoff well?
No, I think
did they come in at their best in that game on Saturday?
No, I think they peaked too early, and that's the thing. And then, you know, they talked about resting guys that last week with the bye. You know, and that's a team that it seems the more they play, the better they got. And it's almost like they hit that brick wall, and then they got completely taken out of their element. They forgot they could run the football.
Here's what we learned.
You know, this let's come out and start throwing deep. No.
That the Ravens playing for out in front and winning games by playing out in front was absolutely proven to be true. That it was not just some coincidence that the Ravens had scored early, played from ahead, and used it to their advantage. It wasn't just that, oh, they're just so good, they're beating up on everybody and scoring first. No, they scored first, and that was part of the reason why they won.
Did
the last time that they had not had the lead early was that Cleveland game that they had lost. Do you know that every game since they had taken the lead?
We've never seen them have
run
to come
with it?
Back.
Right.
But
right. And
they
and
never had to play from behind.
Look, I don't know if they were tight. I don't know if they were rusty. You know, they're kind of a decent length layoff when you factor in week 17.
Oh, and Ingram's banged up, too. That didn't hurt him.
But
I mean, that didn't help him.
Lamar Jackson specifically, and maybe it was a function of playing from behind. But whereas before, it's like if he would feel pressure, see him like move up into the pocket and either still make a throw or pick up yardage on his own.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was retreating and he was running like back and he wasn't finding the edge that he could escape to. And it seemed like what happened to the guy that would evade that
right.
with one quick move and still get a pass off or just run the ball himself?
Well, here's a question.
Did you see that too?
Yeah, no, but see, we criticized them, but is that a product of how good Tennessee's defense is?
Could be.
And their approach off the edge. Maybe we underestimated how damn good Mike Vrabel had that defense ready to go here down the stretch.
I thought he looked good, though, right before coming out for introductions, wanting to ride the golf cart onto the field. I thought that was a great video.
To front.
Ha ha hee hee.
They never got smacked
on the Ravens social media accounts. Yep. If you haven't seen it already, your starting quarterback is screwing around on a golf cart, joking about how he wants to ride the golf cart out for introductions.
Big party.
Like, ha ha.
But that's
a big joke.
But that stuff is always
working. You have a playoff game in 5 minutes. What are you doing? I think it just spoke to their inexperience. And it spoke to them not being able to know what to do when someone comes out and takes a lead and gets physical with them, and they didn't have an answer. And Hardy, I think everything you're saying is right.
See, and
they don't react well when they are faced with real competition like they were on Saturday night.
They struggled when they got down to San Francisco in that mud game. Remember, San Francisco came out early. I think there was a deflection. They ended up scoring Jimmy on that first drive. And then it looks like things tightened up for them, and that game was a slugfest. From that point forward, since then, like, really, when did they ever have to come back? Like, you knew if you could flip the game and make the game one-dimensional. That's the only thing they couldn't do. See, Jackson,
I thought there was a huge swing in that game early in the first quarter that happened. That proved this theory, though, because you had that punt. You had that illegal touch on the punt where the guy runs 12 yards out of bounds, by the way, going down the field.
Yeah.
And still was the first guy there. And you're like, guy, what do you think? They weren't going to see you?
Yeah. Mr. Special Team Head Coach.
Like, sort of a bad penalty there. Okay. And so on that drive, the Ravens get into Tennessee territory. And what does Jackson do? He threw a pick, turnover there. The Titans take it back. And what do? They score a touchdown. They scored a touchdown off of that drive. They took that 7-0. I felt like early on, that entire game sort of flipped early. And then you had just the most incredible decision by Harbaugh. I just look at this game and say, you've tightened up here. You want to go for it? You want to go for it on fourth down? Okay, go ahead. Yeah, you've got that success rate, right? What was it, 70% they kept talking about? Oh, it's just what they do. It's just what the Ravens do. Go ahead, keep doing it. See how it works out. See how to know, you know, again, you gotta know when to fold them a little bit there.
How many times did
they punt the ball away?
How many times did they look like they weren't in formation on offense? Like, what did we see over the last couple of weeks? We saw other teams copying them with the double pony, with him and the gun, and they got away from everything that got them to that game. The passes to the tight end in the flat, the rub plays underneath. You know, rolling him out to his right. He had none of that. Hardy's right. I mean, he got pushed back all day. But, I mean, he's so damn fast, he should be able to turn that corner. I don't care what the edge is like. That guy in real-time speed is a different guy. I mean, we could sit here and we could rip at him about wanting to ride the cart out and that, but Jackson, a couple weeks ago, when Greg Roman was getting all the looks at to say he's going to be one of the next head coaches, or he's going to start doing interviews, and Jackson said, well, I hope he knows better than to do that, because we got unfinished business. I think Jackson has handled himself pretty well the entire year, given everything that's been, it's earned and thrown in his lap.
I think
the kids handle it well.
I just think that nobody on that Baltimore sideline handled the night well, including their coach. I didn't like his fourth down calls. I know that he does that a lot. They do it a lot. It didn't work out. I mean, look at the stats. Did you see just the comparison of the stats in the game?
It's hard to believe.
The team stats?
Yeah. Jackson's stats at the end of the day looks like he had himself one hell of a
night. Looks like he had a hell of a night.
365 or what, 143?
Like, I mean, just look at it. They had over, 500 yards of offense in that game? The Titans had about 300?
Pretty much all in the fourth quarter.
The first downs were like 2-1 for Baltimore. They only punted once. Granted, they went for it on fourth down a couple of times. They had the advantage in the time of possession. And what did it come down to? Bad decisions on fourth down that were made by them, and also a quarterback who wasn't ready for the moment. Turn the ball over. You can't turn the ball over. You can't turn the ball over in these spots. You lose those games. Every time. On paper, it looks like they should have worn down the Titans, but you know what? They didn't. That Titans defense is playing well right now. The Titans are getting hot at the right time of year.
Yep.
And they got the win. And at some point, you got to stop saying these are just good matchups for the Titans. You've got to say this team's getting hot and they're playing their best football in January.
So you beat the former champ wild card weekend to advance to
in
go
their
play
building.
The Ravens to beat the number one seed there. Now you're going on the road to play Kansas City. I wouldn't bet against them. I really wouldn't. Especially with that running back. Look at the way that we beat Kansas City last year. How do we do it? Keeping the ball away from them, right? You get a quick lead and you ran Burkhead and Michelle, they got the guy in Henry that is a hell of a more back than they are.
Yeah.
They got a shot. They got a shot there.
In terms of the good matchup thing, Beto, I don't know that Baltimore, on paper, based on what they've done this season and what you've seen out of Lamar Jackson, what you've seen out of what Harbaugh's been able to do with the defense, I don't know that they were a good matchup for anybody. So Vrabel may have thought that, and there may have been Tennessee fans who thought, oh, yeah, you know, we got this one. Look, I didn't hear a whole lot of that. I know we liked it to be a little closer, and you guys specifically liked it to be a little closer than most people did, but who saw this? I mean, who saw the Titans being able to go in there and just roll and not only have it be a good matchup, but be an easy matchup for them?
Well, they did get some help. I mean, they did get some help along the way. Jackson didn't play well. I'll give him, you know, I mean, it's not like they
did he sit too long?
See, that's the sort of this conversation if there was complete domination by the Titans.
Yeah, it's as much of the Ravens not looking like the Ravens as and the Titans taking full advantage of it.
Yes. Yes.
There's something to be said for that.
How much did you enjoy that second Titans touchdown, the 45-yard touchdown pass on the first play.
It's almost like that's
the first play from scrimmage
dagger.
Following the 4th-and-1 failure.
Dagger.
Oh, that was amazing.
Dagger.
That's such a big swing there. Why are you giving the Titans short fields? You just watched them against New England the week before score 14 points.
Yeah.
And you're going to willingly give them short fields when you're already down a touchdown? That was stupid. That 4th-and-1 decision by Harbaugh at the start of the second quarter, I think it was, was it the first play of the second quarter? The first play of the second quarter was inexcusable.
You know what, though?
You've got to know the situation. I'm sorry. I don't care that you're 70% on fourth down. Punt it away.
Put that situation in front of him 10 more times. How many more times does he go for it? I think he goes for it all 10 times.
And he's an idiot for it.
That's the way he is. That's the way
No. He's not going for it 10 times. The analytics department's going for it 10 times out of 10. He's admitted he takes the call from the analytics department.
Oh, good.
Well,
congratulations. Yeah. Where's that gotten them?
Good luck in Cleveland.
Yeah. They were at home after a week off, and they lost to the Tennessee Titans, who, again, I want to give them a lot of credit because they're a good team right now, and they're playing really well, and they're well-coached, and they don't make a lot of dumb mistakes like so many other teams in this league. You know who looked like the dumb team? The Baltimore Ravens.
Number one seed.
A lot of stupid out there this weekend in all the games.
A lot of stupid.
Oh, God, yeah.
Why every team was stupid?
I think I'm most surprised that Harbaugh, not that Vrabel had a well-prepared team, but that his team seemed more prepared and more ready for the moment than Harbaugh's team did.
Yes.
That surprises me.
Yes.
I thought, if anything,
surprise me, though.
Well, I think it's his team's
that
harder.
Harbaugh's team seems so ill-prepared for the moment.
It surprised me that the Ravens looked as bad as they did and ill-prepared. It did not surprise me that the Titans looked ready for the moment.
Yeah.
They're well-coached.
But if they're both ready for the moment, the Ravens win that game.
I would maybe agree
with
that.
At home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. If you do
if
what you do.
They're both ready and they've both done everything they should be doing and preparing for it, the Ravens win.
I don't know how you overcome the analytics department. That I don't know. I don't have an answer for that crap. Analytics. Good luck with it.
So think about that. For 3 weeks, you sat there, and all you had to do was think about this game. So I think you end up thinking yourself out of your own damn game plan instead of just doing what you do and what you do well. Like Greg Roman sat there for 3 weeks, and, crap, that team went in there and beat New England. We need to do something different to start this game instead of just running your quarterback all day. That place would have went nuts. They blew it. They blew it. They had them.
The other AFC game this weekend happened yesterday. Houston, Kansas City. We'll talk about that. Get your calls on the weekend that was in the NFL. 617-779-0985. A lot to get to today on this Monday on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Chiefs go to a knee, and that will be that. And the Kansas City Chiefs, with the fourth largest comeback in NFL playoff history, down 24-0 early in the second quarter, an onslaught of 7 straight touchdowns and a field goal, and then a defense that just took the game over. Final score, Kansas City 51, Houston 31. And for the second consecutive year, the Chiefs will host the AFC Championship game right here at Andy's Acre at the 39th parallel.
Spot already.
Seven.
I ain't touching that one.
So you think the Titans are going to win?
No.
Oh, you said I wouldn't bet against them?
I
thought that meant you thought they were going to win.
Based on how they've played, I mean, look at the last two opponents they've beaten. Weird things happen in this game. I think it's going to be Kansas City and the Packers. That's kind of what I'm rooting from an excitement standpoint of a Super Bowl.
Oh, I'm not writing off the 49ers, my friend.
I know. Oh, I wouldn't write them off either, but I just, from our root, we're going to be there covering it. So from our rooting interest, I mean, it's probably better locally to have Jimmy G in it.
See, this is where it's going to get interesting. Just up until the conference championships, I think opinions are going to vary widely in terms of what matchup you want to see.
You want old school football? You want smash mouth Derrick Henry's type football, or do you want high-flying Mahomes? You know, like it's a finesse offense versus a physical offense. Which one are you rooting for? Like, Tennessee's a throwback. I mean, Tannehill made a hell of a throw yesterday, but Jesus, he didn't have to throw the football here. They ran the ball by handing it off and playing defense. That's like Parcells stuff. That's old school throwback stuff.
I think Packers KC, and this is an amendment from earlier takes.
Retake.
I think that that would provide, based on what we saw from the Packers yesterday, I feel like that would provide for the best game. The best game.
Packers KC.
Yeah. Maybe yes. Not the best storylines.
Yep. Yep.
But the best game itself.
Yes.
But as far as the storylines go, I'd much rather see San Francisco in there with Jimmy Garoppolo. I'd much rather see that.
San Francisco, Tennessee.
Yeah, it'd be a fun story, but I think the game would suck.
I think that
the storylines would be fun.
I think San Fran Titans is a better story. I think Green Bay KC is a better game.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So it's like weighing the build up to the game versus the actual game itself.
Green Bay's kind of boring.
Oh, they are. And I don't want to hear about Aaron Rodgers for two straight weeks.
Green Bay's boring?
This year they are. Yes.
Not with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I disagree.
Not with Aaron Rodgers. He's the X factor, Jim.
Some of those throws are much more enjoyable than Kansas.
Some of those throws off his back.
I could not pick. Listen.
That throw at the end of the game? Are you kidding me?
I think that we should do this.
Oh, why they
off the back
the
foot?
Oh,
could you pick Matt LaFleur out of a lineup right now?
No.
Thank you.
He looks like Capriccio, our new intern.
LaFleur.
We actually have a new intern, NBC's boss, and throw him up there. So clean cut kid.
So
brand new shirt.
I do, you know, look at the storyline versus game itself. There are two different things there to talk about. But as far as that game itself, that happened yesterday, Houston and Kansas City. If you are a Texans fan today,
you want your head coach fired.
You want your head coach fired?
I'm not promoting. I mean, I would not, but
and
I would understand
right.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
And you are absolutely right to want that to be the case.
Now, John McClain said it's not going to happen.
I know that.
Did he back anything up with that, or is that just because he's there and he knows?
No, he's tied in. John's tied in.
Oh, I know he's tied in.
Yeah.
No, I mean, based on when he said it, like how soon after the game, I'm guessing that's him just an informed opinion.
Okay.
But, I mean, when you're talking about John McClain, you're talking about a very informed opinion.
Right, right. But he didn't say anything else after that other than, and I still take it as, yep, I believe that if he said it, but just be interesting if he had anything else to add to it.
My question on that would be after his, I thought the first fourth and one was ridiculous by John Harbaugh. He was outdone by the fake punt attempt by the Houston Texans as one of the worst decisions I have ever seen a coach make.
I don't have a problem.
I've never seen something as stupid as that. That is the king of why the other team was stupid right
now. How about having the answer that we kicked the field goal because I didn't have a play on fourth and inches?
Oh,
that's the killer. That's the killer for me. Like, okay, you're up 21 zip. You're rolling. Your player makes one hell of an effort to get to the yellow line.
How about
looks like he got there, but yet you're ruled short?
So he not only admits that after the game, that
I didn't have a play.
So we just decided to kick a field goal because I couldn't come up with a play?
Where does that come down on the analytics chart? Okay, when you don't have play A, B, C, D, O, go to D.
Which is fine, right? I mean, if you just say and you go and you say, no, I'm defending my decision. I thought that was best there. I didn't think that we should have been looking. We should have just gone ahead and kicked the field goal.
Whatever.
Defend the decision. Yeah. Don't tell us the reason why you made the decision.
He would have been better at fourth and three.
I didn't have an idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't have a play. The other one was, I don't know if you caught this, and I don't know if people were still paying attention closely enough at this point because it was pretty much over in the fourth quarter. There was, I think, about 11 minutes to go, and I will double-check this right now. He called a timeout because he sent the punt team on?
Yes.
Did you see this?
Yes. Yes.
This was just like another – this was like the cherry on top of
this game. As Deshaun Watson was yelling at him coming off the field, like, what are you doing?
And
he's like 4 yards. It's only 4 yards.
And on the broadcast, they're like, I think it was Nance who said, well, they're going to have to go for it here. And then they didn't. Nance started to backtrack because he's like, oh, Well, I guess they're not going to go for it here because Nance, I think, you know, Nance is not comfortable calling out teams.
How much time was left?
Right? And by him saying, oh, the Texans will have to go for it here, and then Bill O'Brien sending on the punt team, he just said, was like, oh, maybe not. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And then he called, Deshaun Watson's looking at him like, we got to go for it. And he sends the punt team on, is walking up and down the sideline, and then calls a timeout and burns a timeout.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a play and they didn't know to keep the offense on the field.
You could see it in his face. You could see it in O'Brien's face
what are
as
you
that
doing?
Game went on.
They ran a fake punt while they were up 17 in the yeah. first half, but
yes,
they weren't going to go for that one?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Idiots.
That wasn't Brady
coach,
Manning, right?
Your
keep the
coach
ball away
has,
from them.
That just proves that the things that are said about Bill O'Brien when he plays the Patriots are true of Bill O'Brien when he gets into big games.
Yeah.
He can't handle it. He's not a head coach.
As soon as he's
great
done calling that third
let
down
him be
play,
a coordinator.
As soon as he's done calling that third down play, he's got to tell his assistants, hey, we're going for it on fourth if we don't get it, right?
No correct. Kidding. That's yes. the job of a head coach.
Two down territory. Simple. Yep. Absolutely.
That was a horrible coaching game by Bill O'Brien. I mean, that was a horrible, horrible
it
game.
Killed your team. It just said the wind. Did you see Mahomes' face?
But my question is, how do you come back from that next year? How do your players look at you and say, yeah, this is the guy who knows what he's doing?
Head
you know,
in the right direction. Head in the right direction.
You've got a coach who shoots your team in the foot. And it's not like he hasn't been given enough of a chance there. They should be better than they are. They have a good young quarterback. They've got some pieces there on both sides of the ball. They should be better than they are. And they get into a game yesterday where they took a big lead early and should have been in a position to win.
Yep.
And they just completely destroyed themselves. They imploded.
You're on the road up 24-0 against the best team in football.
A mental mess that coach is. The fake punt.
I think it starts with his hat, too. The goofy white hat with the kind of the emblems there, but it's not there. It's just annoying. But then he just has that smirk, and he stares at the clock. Like, you know what's going on inside his head. And it's panic. He created panic within his own team. It didn't need to be there. They were playing well.
1 yard line. He's had his own 31. Fourth and four at his own 31. And he's up 24 zip.
You let them in the
and
game.
And he calls a fake punt. How stupid.
Was it 20? I thought it was only 17 at the time. It was 24?
Wow. Well, you know what? You might be right. They took a 24-0 lead.
Yeah.
They were. I think it was 24-7 on the fake punt.
24.
It was like they could feel the Chiefs starting to come back.
Series after Mahomes took him down, scored, and then he went and grabbed his helmet. Then they were just
rolling. But they had 24 on the board when they did it, right?
24-7.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, 24-0. Mahomes goes down, takes him to score. Right. And then that's that next series, ensuing series, they ran the fake.
I mean, you were gifted a touchdown on the block punt, too.
And then it's 24-14, like
24-7
like
on your own
like
31.
That.
And you run a fake punt. You moron. Why in the world would you do that? It's like he was playing a game of Madden.
It actually worked,
like,
too.
Like none
it
of
actually,
this matters.
It would have worked. The Sorensen made
guy.
A great play.
One guy.
One guy had to make one guy miss, and he couldn't.
See, that's one thing when you study a look so
make
much.
Make a man miss, and he couldn't.
Make a man miss. Yeah.
It's unnecessary. It would have been stupid even if he got it. You'd say, what are you doing?
Dodged a bullet there.
What is the point of that? It still is not worth the risk at that point. The score, where you're at on the field, not worth it.
If he had made, all right, let's play this out. If they had gotten the first down on that play,
okay,
right, and then gone three plays and out,
then punted,
they would have punted, right? They wouldn't have gone for it again.
Right.
Correct.
And they would have been closer to midfield, we assume, by a few yards, had they not picked up the first down.
What, I don't even understand the thinking on that. Is it just like, okay, so you're backed up.
I think Bill O'Brien should be fired.
Yeah.
I think the Houston Texans would be better served.
You understand they would be hosting an AFC title game. If they won that game.
What I just said, let's play it out. That's something that doesn't go through Bill O'Brien's head in the game. Let's play it out. What if this happens? What if that happens?
Because you're thinking, there's no way in hell they're going to run a fake, so let's run the fake here because we're backed up.
It was on full display that he just doesn't. He can't grasp it.
No,
he
but you're right. If you advance that. Say they pick up a first down and get to midfield. He's not calling that at midfield because everybody in the stadium and on punt defense would be, watch out for the fake because that's what's ingrained in you. He rolled the dice that much more being backed up down and tight. They would have hosted an AFC title game, Houston. That's more stuff to be pissed off about if you're a Texans fan. Not just the coaching, but Jesus, we would have had this game here.
617-779-0985. We'll touch on the NFC games. Also get your calls coming up next. 617-779-0985. Later this hour, Julian Edelman's weekend. We'll get to that. All of it's on the way.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy Garoppolo will take the snap.
And Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jimmy Garoppolo will take the snap from Ben Garland. Take a right knee, left knee, and Richie James will stick it.
Oh, man.
A perfect 10. And that's how many points the Minnesota Vikings scored today. Only 10, and they were lucky to get those 10.
Hey, Pop. You like that?
I like that.
Feels great, baby.
Actually, I don't like that. Feels great, baby.
What a game. What a game.
If you're going to San Francisco.
It's the only reason I'm rooting for San Francisco, this song. I like this song.
Jim, can it doesn't have to be now, obviously. Doesn't even have to be today, but can we get the me first and the gimme gimmies version of this song, please, at some point this week?
If they win Sunday, so you have to root for them.
No,
there's no caveat.
At some point this week. Like I said, not now, not even today. Me first and the gimme gimmies in San Francisco.
This takes you like to the hippie time.
A great version.
I want to hear Greg Papa call a Super Bowl for the 49ers. That's what I want to hear. Because it's still just so weird to hear him doing the 49er games and not the Raiders.
Hey, Raiders!
It's just odd.
San Francisco! It doesn't roll off his tongue like Raiders does.
It's just a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, but it gives you Brent Musburger. The flip side.
Be the rest radio call matchup. Titans radio, Niners radio.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Blah!
Very similar.
Blah!
Very similar calls.
That was it, right? On the block kick?
Yep. Yeah.
I'll tell you, after watching that game, there was no doubt that the Browns are going to hire Stefanski, right? Vikings. What was that crap? Vikings blow, huh?
That whole game was like a weird window, too. Yeah, just like, you know, there's your number one seed, and they're forced to play like that early Saturday game. It's just a weird window for them. Yeah, you know, you're sitting there, and it's bright sunshine. Wow, look at that, West Coast football. It's like one of those bowl games from like the Sugar Bowl or the Rose Bowl out there, just stuffed in that 3:30 window.
I don't know how many more three and outs I could watch in that game for the Vikings.
Yeah.
I bet it was a hard weekend for the Saints fans to watch that.
Like again, yeah. Like
oh,
blown
my.
Opportunity again.
Oh, my. That team is not very good. I don't know how they won the week before, but they did. Jimmy Garoppolo moves on. I thought San Francisco looked good. What did you think of San Francisco?
They're just well-oiled.
They are.
He calls a great game. And like I said Garoppolo throwing the ball to the tight ends in that condensed look does it about as good or better than anybody I've seen. Because Shanahan's ability to find ways to get those tight ends open downfield. And I'm not talking Baltimore Raven underneath rub routes or chips out in the flat off the bootleg. Like, it's legitimate. Drive the ball down the seam to these guys. He does it without hesitation. You know, it doesn't matter. And it's just not like, okay, it's one guy we're going to throw to. They throw it to everybody. Everybody's involved in that game plan.
Well, there was that game, and then there was the other NFC game, which happened yesterday. Before we get to your calls. The Seattle game. How'd you think your boy Pete did in that one?
I think they're pretty banged up. Quarterback can play, man. Like that. Say what you want about Pete. Pete's team has balls.
Yeah,
they really do.
Well, I just look at it.
I think they ran out of gas last night. I do. No, that's a team, and to Pete's credit, he has reset that team. Now, I mean, it's the offense is obviously centered around Wilson, and Jesus, why can't we get a back that runs like Marshawn Lynch does when there's nothing there?
Yeah, I know.
My God,
he's something special.
You can't stop him.
Averaging 2.2 yards a carry.
No, but I'm talking
game.
Down and tight there, man. He had a hell of a run there on that touchdown.
That, to me, was sort of their issue in this game, that they still were trying to run the ball when they couldn't.
Yeah, but it sets up the play action for him and his ability to scramble.
No, it just wasn't there, though.
Yeah.
It wasn't there.
Oh, my God, Metcalf. What a specimen. Yeah, you come away from that. What's he had? Over 219 yards in the playoffs? his ability to play all year long. Second round pick. And he separates. The guy has space. So it's not like, and I heard a lot of this too. Well, at least Russ Wilson throws him the ball. Yeah, he throws him the ball.
Do you know what the running backs? Open. Do you know what the running backs had in that game for Seattle? 17 carries for 46 yards.
Yeah, it felt like it. Yeah, it felt like it was like all on Russ to go win this game single-handedly.
Yeah.
And he was the best running back on the field for them.
Yeah, and they were still calling the runs.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, you've got to just get to abandon it. You've got to say, you know what? I know this is what we want to do. It's not there for us today.
What's that say for
it's
Green Bay,
just
though?
Just not there.
At the end of that game, you know, it turns into that fourth quarter, and you think, okay, Green Bay's going to run away with this. But they allowed them to crawl back into that game to where they had the ball in their hand at the end. You're thinking, they're really going to pull this out. I had the feeling that Seattle was going to pull that game out at the end, as bad as it was going for them, because Green Bay couldn't shut the damn door. And then Rodgers made some throws on that last drive, and he put them away.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Mark in Medford on Lamar Jackson. Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Mark?
So I noticed when Lamar Jackson is actually forced to actually play the quarterback position, doesn't look so MVP-like yesterday, did he?
No, that's not playing to his strengths. You're right.
Exactly, because when he's forced to play the actual quarterback position more than what he wanted to, and that really hurt him yesterday. But just to see the look on Harbaugh's face on the sidelines with his mouth wide open just staring at the screen was priceless.
I think he was in shock. I think that team believes everything that they were. They read all the press clippings. They're a front runner, and you know they like all the attention. They played well with it, and I think they got hit in the mouth, and sometimes that stuns you.
You know,
I think
there was,
Harbaugh was stunned.
There was sort of some post-game conversation on ESPN, NFL Network, and maybe in other places since that, as we've talked about, Lamar Jackson, I don't think, was ready for the moment. He was not ready for the game. And
well, they could have helped him.
A lot of people sort of want to put the bad throws on that. And I'd say, guys, this is who he is when he's forced to throw a lot.
Yeah. I saw a lot of people ripping him for his playoff loss a year ago.
He's an inaccurate passer. That doesn't play to his strengths. That's not what has made him really good this season. Throwing the football is not what has been his, you know, key to success.
For 16 weeks.
What have you guys been watching?
For 16 weeks, we talked about how he could work here and how the Ravens were so smart at adapting and how Greg Roman could construct an offense to benefit him and allow him to do all things that he does well. And he went completely away from that to start that game.
And a lot was made about all the drops that the Ravens had, as you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They didn't help them. They kept dropping footballs. You know why that happens? Because you're not used to catching the football. Because they haven't been throwing the ball all year. They've been running. They don't throw a lot.
Ooh, ooh.
Which means the receivers don't catch a lot. Which means, yeah, they're not knocking off the rust of just the bye week. They're knocking off the rust of an entire season of not getting the ball. Is that fair to say?
No, it's totally fair to say. Like, you look at all these other teams. Like, you mentioned Seattle. Okay, they've had the ability to run the ball. They've also had the ability to throw the ball all year, too. Like, they would be able to adapt to what the situation is. Same thing for Kansas City. Same thing for Tennessee. But you never saw Baltimore have to flip the script and say, okay, we got to put it in his lap 50 times.
Julian Edelman had himself a weekend out on the West Coast. We'll talk about that and his arrest after this. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, you f***ing up, bro. Listen, dog, you don't want none of this action. Watch out.
Oh my, really?
You don't want none of this.
Bob.
You don't want none of this. Ah.
I got him, Boston.
He got me, Boston.
Got arrested over the weekend. The details are a little lacking on this arrest.
He's in a wrong place at the wrong time.
Wrong place at the wrong time?
On. Yeah, on top of a car.
There was a burglary.
No.
How coincidental.
No. Julian Edelman was arrested on Saturday night in Beverly Hills. What you just heard was sound from Paul Pierce's Instagram. So Paul Pierce, Danny Amendola, and Julian Edelman, we're all hanging out together.
Yeah, we put those three together.
I had no idea that Julian Edelman and Paul Pierce were friends, but all right, cool. So those
truth
guys go out or something, and you know, maybe they're watching the game somewhere. Edelman jumped on the hood of a car at 9 p.m. Pacific.
Well, that's early.
It was early in the evening. He jumps on the hood of a car causing
damage. How'd they sound in that video? That was even, the video was 2 hours earlier.
Yeah. So 2 hours later, he's out in Beverly Hills and he jumps on top of a car causing damage.
See, there was different reports. Like the video happened after and the video happened before it. Like, which one is it? It's after it, right?
No.
He got arrested after it.
I read that the video was 2 hours before the.
Yeah, the video was prior to being arrested.
Okay. Because there were people saying that, okay, his friends got him out and he still went out and partied with Paul Pierce after that. And I'm like, well, that wouldn't make sense. Right, from a timing aspect? Or look?
No, right? I thought he was really hurt. I thought his
knee.
I thought his injury was beyond something you could imagine. If he is really that injured, what's he doing running around L.A., jumping up on the hoods of cars, partying? Maybe he wasn't all that hurt.
Teen Wolf. Paul, he does have head hair.
Paul Pierce, by the way, tweeted that it was... Pierce tweeted this out, Jim?
He replied to somebody. I think it was Twitter.
Yeah.
It was definitely on social media.
He said it was minutes.
It was Instagram.
Minutes before he got arrested was the video, not after. Huh. And it appeared like they were in like a little bar somewhere.
Yeah, so like a chandelier.
I don't know, but like they're mixing it up. He's wrestling around. I thought you had the rib and the knee and the shoulder that was beyond anything you could imagine.
What was he holding in his right hand?
I thought he was one-armed last week playing the game.
Well, that was like 2-3 weeks ago, right? The game?
No, it was 7 days ago from the time he was arrested.
Oh, 7 days ago. He didn't look all that injured. I mean,
it's clean cut.
Well, forget about clean cut. Was he too banged up to play football correctly?
He was, because he's going to have two surgeries to repair his injuries.
Oh,
is he holding a box cutter in his right hand?
That just makes it worse, Hardy. Worse. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Not only that, like, you're 33 now. You know what I mean? This isn't like a 22-year-old rookie who gets arrested being drunk and stupid. Like, grow up a little bit, would you? What are you doing?
Jumping up on the hood of a car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
23 is a little old for that. 33? That's way too old for that.
Like, I think 27 is a cutoff.
33, you're an adult. You're a father. You have a child. Like, grow up. What are you doing? What the hell are you doing? It's not a big deal. You know, he's very wealthy. He'll pay.
Awesome,
he'll take care of this and pay the person, and, you know, it'll be compensated. No, he doesn't belong in jail or anything. What the hell are you doing?
I'm happy that the injuries don't appear to be all that serious.
It just makes it worse.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The knee is okay. Shoulder seems to be fine when you're wrestling around with Paul Pierce. The ribs apparently not bothering him all that much.
Cartilage torn.
Good news for Julian Edelman.
I bet the Chargers.
Apparently not all that hurt after all.
I bet the Chargers end up getting dropped. So I don't think there will be much more in the form of any sort of legal punishments. But what are you doing? Just stupid.
You're just cutting up, acting silly.
Just stupid,
Jules.
Don't be a jerk.
Burger time.
You know?
A couple burgers. Yeah, the Amendola. Amendola's got a new haircut, huh? Get that thing all trimmed up.
Yeah? Did he jump on a car?
No.
Paul Pierce jump on
a
car?
Didn't get caught doing it anyways?
Don't know. Maybe it's the last guy that always gets caught. Like, it's the guy that hits back, right? That's who they throw the flag
Hanging
on.
Out with an NBA the player trying to show him his office vertical?
I wonder if he had any, like, rocks in his shoes, like, and he gets on the hood there. Scrapes it up.
Oh, yeah. He gets him stuck in the tread.
Again, the details are a little thin, but what led to that?
Who's Mercedes?
Alcohol.
What was the setup for that? He just runs into the street and dives on a car. Like, what? How did that go down?
Was he jumping on top of the car? Was he already on the car and jumping up and down? Or did he jump up to the car? I pictured him on the flat ground jumping up on top of the car.
Was he on his feet on top of the hood?
Probably.
Oh, and he like dive like he's catching a pass, dive yeah, shoulder.
When I sort of imagine, it's like him like sprawling across the hood.
No, I picture him jumping up on the hood of the car. Like, that's how I
picture like him at the parade.
Yes, I put my feet up on your hood.
He's like Teen Wolf.
Is that what he's doing?
I think the beard
grinding him in.
I'm serious. I think the beard makes him morph into Teen Wolf. You know, like when he's surfing on top of the car. Yeah, yeah.
Is that like Danny Amendola Styles? His friend from Teen Wolf? No.
It's good news if you're a Patriots fan, though. That's my takeaway.
Is it?
Really?
Not all that hurt, after all. He's out there acting a fool, running around Hollywood, jumping up on the hoods of cars. That shoulder injury, not all that bad. The knee? What knee? Ribs? He's wrestling around with Paul Pierce. Guy's got 100 pounds on him. He's fine. I thought he was injured. I thought he was too injured to play well. He's not all that hurt. Look at him. He's running around L.A., jumping up on a hood of a Mercedes. He's okay. Good news, Patriots fans. He's back already. 7 days after the fact.
When did that story break?
Okay.
What time in the morning did it break? Because I think it was like 30 minutes later that Schefter had the report about the severity of the injuries.
10 a.m.
It was about 30 minutes later Schefter came out with rib cartilage?
Yes. With the tweet of, in Julian Edelman on the field news, like, oh yeah, let's redirect back to the
Schefter's tied in too, because remember when the suspension came in, they had when Jules got busted.
Yep, he waited until the press availability was done before he dropped the story.
Well, it's the same as Brady.
Yeah, remember
he has the same agent as Brady, right? Edelman, or does he not? Okay.
Yeah, Dubin and you. Yep.
Ooh, what?
Man, Dubin's out there too. Dubin's in Beverly Hills. Hey, what were they? I don't know. Maybe he got challenged to jump over a car or something.
Oh, well, if he got perfect videos.
No.
This is not out of character for him.
No.
This is like, what is he thinking? No, he was being his normal self.
This is him and Amendola. Right.
That's a good point, though. If he got double dog dared to do it, then he pretty much has to do it.
That's a requirement.
Yeah. Double.
Yeah. When you say not out of character, how do you know that?
I don't know. Just seeing all the videos. What was he doing with his? Was he partying with his like cast on a couple years ago or something?
I don't know.
Knee was all banged up. Zoe would remember.
So you're saying that
was a real injury.
The parade stuff. Like Zoe said, the parade.
He was up for like three days.
Never
slept. Remember that?
As opposed to the nonsense excuse injuries that he's suffering from now.
I would just say that I would not hold any activities that we saw him do in a parade or do, you know, out partying somewhere against him. Like, there's a big...
I'm not holding this against him. I don't care if he hasn't had surgery yet. I don't care if he's hurt.
I wouldn't say that those things mean that he's likely to jump on the hood of a car and be a jerk to somebody and do property damage. Like, that's sort of a leap there, isn't it?
A leap right onto the hood of a car.
Guy likes to go out and have a good time. That doesn't mean he likes to do what he did on Saturday night.
And I got news for you, Jim. He's not hurt. He's okay.
Hardy's going to be insufferable on this now.
Come on.
He is.
What?
He's banged.
He's got nothing to lose. He's having surgery anyways.
You can tell he's banged up all year.
Nothing to lose.
To say he's not hurt.
Go to town.
He seems okay. Did you see the video?
Well, if you get he's clear that you can't hurt to join anymore.
He's out partying in L.A. with
wrestling
Paul Pierce,
on the hoods of
Danny
cars.
Danny Amendola wrestling Paul Pierce and jumping on the hoods of cars. Oh, he's really, really hurt. He is injured. It doesn't seem that way. Seems like he's fine.
Catch the ball. Don't drop it. Been a rough 7 days for Edelman.
It was thrown to the wrong arm.
Not his fault. He has a bad drop, and now he gets arrested. That's a bad week for him. 90 seconds, no commercials here.
I'm not insufferable. You know what's insufferable is having to drive around in a freaking rental car for a month because some jagoff jumped up on the hood of my Mercedes. All I had was parked down the street. Next thing I know, some guy who's supposed to be too injured to do anything other than laying around waiting for his off-season surgery, he jumps up on the hood of my car, and now I got to drive around in a Kia for a month? Thanks, Jules. Hope get well soon.
Well, he is a squirrel. Squirrels do that.
That's insufferable.
617-779-0985. There was other news on the Patriots front this past weekend. That is, Josh McDaniels is not going to Cleveland. Josh McDaniels is staying put for now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.